The Friday Agenda.
For Charlie Battisti and Co, Melbourne's most trusted repairer of prestige vehicles. Going to hand it over to you, Kingy. Firstly, you've been impressed by the Tigers. Before we get your thoughts, let's have a listen to a journalist asking Damien Hardwick about Dustin Martin this week.
Dustin's come back from his break firing. In light of his break, the president was asked about his future last week. He's been a great servant in the club. Could you see a scenario where he does possibly look to get out of the Melbourne Fishbowl, though?
Crikey, that's a big one. I hope not. I think what I will say is he's a very important player to our footy club, both on the field and off the field. And what he gives us, he's paid us in spades. Whatever Dustin's decision is moving forward is up to Dustin. And to be honest, he has my blessing. Look, what he's given me, us, our fans, has been incredible. And whatever we get from here on in is a real bonus from my point of view.
Richmond have done this so well, it's frightening. How they're handling the end of the Dustin Martin period at Richmond. He leaves an unbelievable legacy of just a trail of success, really. And what he's been able to transform this football club from and to is quite remarkable. I don't think there's a club that would handle this as well as what Richmond have this week. And people can say what they want about Damien Hardwick, you know, strange comments, all those sorts of things. But this is a difficult situation that I think Damien and the Richmond hierarchy have made so easy from here forward.
I would like to disagree with you, but I can't because I have the same view. I think he couldn't have answered that question any better. That doesn't mean that if Dustin Martin decides to leave, that they're not going to dig in and get the best possible trade for their club. That doesn't mean they're encouraging him to leave. But if you're Dustin Martin and you sit back and you hear that answer, yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty supportive. And it's hard to argue with. Like, it's just, as I said, I've been critical sometimes of Damien Hardwick and his... I think he went through a stage of whinging a fair bit about a number of things, but there you've got to give him his credit. He couldn't have answered a difficult question any better.
And they won't get the best deal for Dustin. If that was to unfold this way at the end of the year, they won't get the absolute best deal, but they'll look after the person, which has been great to them. So this is clearly, and Melissa's right, clearly this is just speculation, but there must be some fire where there's smoke. You know, some players are hard to... I saw Nick Riewoldt, Nick Del Santo, talking about they reckon they could still play footy last week on Fox. They haven't handled finishing up at all. Buck still thinks he can play, still thinks he can coach.
What's wrong with that?
You were a difficult exit. You come back just for your personal reasons and selfish reasons of getting to 300 games. And then you pulled the pin.
I didn't come back. I just finished.
Well, yeah, at the minute you hit it.
I still reckon I could keep Christian Petrarca under 25.
That's right.
You asked me to come up with a positive one. Well,
how'd you go?
Pretty good.
Right.
I already had this on the agenda, the Friday agenda, before you set me that challenge. But so Max King and Deconing, their matchup. How good? How good was it? And yeah. Chris Scott loved it. He said it's the next Carey and Jakovic, or words to that effect. But so that's the positive of it. But how do we generate more one-on-ones in the game? Because I reckon that is lacking. Now, Darcy Moore has come under fire for the way that he's sort of defending, and he doesn't necessarily play on anyone, and a lot of teams are doing that. They're more so guarding space. You used to be able to... You could at least lock in one defensive matchup in the back line per week. You can't even do that anymore. Oh, if he's playing closer to goal, he'll take him. If he's up the ground, he'll take him. We just don't have any one-on-ones. We certainly don't have it in the midfield. Perhaps in the ruck is the only way that we get one-on-one. So I think we're missing something. And when you see a one-on-one like King and Deconing go at it for four quarters and they each have a win here and a win there and you sort of split the points at the end of it and you go, how good was that? And it's a massive talking point. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Haven't seen it on close checking yet. We've shown it a couple of times on Fox. The preparedness for teammates like Brad Hill. Jones did it last week to get back and block Deconing so that Max has a clean run at the ball. I think it's incredibly smart football.
I'm pretty sure I saw Seb Ross blocking for Zach Jones, who kicked the stoppage goal in the 40-50.
That happens every stoppage. Didn't necessarily
see that on Fox.
Hey, I just want to play this little bit of audio to you and then ask off the back of what Ben Rutten said yesterday, whether you feel that actually in the competition is what he's talking about.
I think what we're seeing at the moment is we're not unconditionally ruthless and have that hard edge that we need.
Unconditionally ruthless. How many teams would you say right now in the competition are unconditionally ruthless?
Unconditionally ruthless.
That's what Essendon is saying they want to be. How many would you say right now?
Well, they're aspiring to be that.
Yeah. How many would be?
I don't know if anyone is unconditionally. I think there's definitely conditions within a game. The best are the best teams. Like you, I think Lordo showed some great stuff on Melbourne on Wednesday night's classified, and he sort of said his topic on them going after Luke Parker was blown out of proportion. But then he showed some examples of what Melbourne do and how if there's an issue on the field, everyone comes from everywhere to support each other. So I don't know.
It's
a
high benchmark, isn't it?
Yeah. How many? How many are there? Well, I'm not sure. They're miles off it. They shouldn't even. It's fanciful.
No. I wasn't making it about Essendon. You're right. But I just thought, yeah, it's a good terminology. Unconditionally. I'm going to watch this weekend. All right? We'll do a little chat next Friday and see if you can isolate. And it doesn't have to be a contender. You can be ruthless and just not good enough. There's a different discussion altogether. Let's have a look at these nine games this week and have a chat next week about that exact topic.
How many players individually are unconditionally ruthless?
Good.
Then you put it into which team has the most players that are unconditionally. So I'll give you one. I watch Port Adelaide pretty closely. Everyone watches their own. Sam Paupepa is unconditionally ruthless.
Sam Paupepa
is unconditionally ruthless. He's not the best player. He's not the most skillful player. But if there's a footy in between someone there to be won, I'll back Paupepa to win it more than he loses. And he's all in at the moment. He's having a very good season as a result.
Is it reminding you of Dustin Martin?
he doesn't have the finishing ability of Dustin Martin, but he's unconditionally ruthless. So, I mean, Jack Viney.
Let's come up with some names. Let's watch this round and come up with some names next week.
0433981116. How did you see Dyson Heppel's performance on the couch?
Really tough. He was getting, it was like facing the West Indian fast bowlers there for 10 minutes, wasn't it? They were just coming at the throat. I thought he did well, but at some point, and this is the same for all clubs that are struggling, at some point you've got to say, look, you guys can have your opinion. You can say whatever you like. You can fire your bullets. We don't have to agree with any of it, and we will not be referencing most of this stuff you're bringing up now internally. So the media opinion or the fans' opinion, to a point, has no bearing on these football clubs at this particular time. They'll protest us too much. Don't worry about what people say.
I don't know. I disagree somewhat. I think that media pressure and the fans' pressure eventually gets you. Like that's what's going to get the cut.
Only if you're weak. Only if your system can't possibly correct and you have no belief in what you're doing. If Dyson Heppel sits there and says all the right things, if they don't actually embark upon the correction, which is what he's saying they're doing, and he can see the light at the end of the tunnel, then what businesses, what I say or you say or Gary Lyon or Nick Riewoldt or Jonathan, what impact does that have?
Well, they've just done a lot of talking. I swear I heard it's Andy McGrath on Sports Day 3 weeks ago say we're going to hold each other to ruthless standards.
But it's more talking, isn't it?
And you'll pay the price with selection. They made one change, and it's poor old Tommy Cutler after laying 30 tackles on the weekend. So
yeah, he must have been
bad.
I don't know.
I take anything that Essendon say at the moment, including Dyson Heppel, and full points for him to fronting up and doing what he did, because there's not many players that would have done that. So he gets points for that. He doesn't get a lot of points for the answers that he provided.
What did you want to hear?
He was not prepared for that interview, and that's a reflection of the way the club is run. How you could go on live TV for an hour interview with those three names asking you what he knew were going to be tough questions and say you haven't seen the Luke Parker incident. Like, how could you not have seen it? So I don't know whether he was honest in that. I'm assuming he was. How could you not have seen the biggest issue in the game, let alone the biggest issue confronting your club? How could you not have seen that 24 or 48 hours after? They played on Saturday night. He went on TV on Monday.
Yeah. Now, having not seen it, so can I separate that discussion fractionally? And I reckon I had the best captain of all time in Wayne Carey. He would have known what every player had been through the course of the game, whether it had been public or not, whether it had been on, whether he'd been belittled.
How would he would have just done, have how known, would he have done that?
Because he talks to them. Because he chats to all of them in his own way, at any hour of the day, at any time, at any stage of the day. Just had a great ability to get around the people and know what you were thinking, how you were feeling. And then that's the skill, isn't it? Doesn't your captain have to be that person?
So that was my criticism around Dyson. That was a time when there was no social media. There was, like, if he hadn't seen it, someone had to have told him about it, or he had to find a way to pick up the phone and speak to Dylan Chill about it. That was my real criticism about it. Eddie McGuire was strong on the state of the game on Wednesday. We'll get to what Eddie had to say, because I think it's going to differ just a little bit to the way that you see the issue, particularly in relation to a couple of the suspensions and the AFL looking after the head. But that was the Friday agenda.